I ask you to take your Bibles now and turn to the Old Testament book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Going to read the verses 1 through 24, focusing this morning on verses 22 through 24. Lamentations, chapter 3, at verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is like a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. He made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind. And therefore, I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. So far, the reading of God's holy word. In the midst of tragedy, suffering, persecution, sorrow, or death, Christians are sometimes tempted to doubt the faithfulness of God. There are times when our suffering makes no sense to us, and we're tempted to think that God has forgotten us or doesn't care. That is precisely what the people of Jerusalem thought in the days of the prophet Isaiah. They were surrounded by enemy powers which were constantly threatening them. And Jerusalem complained, saying, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." But God responded to Jerusalem's complaint, saying this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands." Jerusalem said, "The Lord has forsaken and forgotten me." But the Lord said, "I am faithful." This morning, in light of two recent deaths in the congregation, and in light of the International Day of Prayer for our persecuted brothers and sisters throughout the world, we want to consider the faithfulness of God as it was expressed by the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 24. With respect to verse 22, I'm following the translation of the New King James. You'll find something similar in the footnote of the ESV. It's printed on the overhead. "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. From these three verses, I want us to consider first, a great need. Second, a great confession. And third, a great hope. We begin with a great need. The words of this text were written not during a time of prosperity, but during a time of great affliction and adversity. Judah was suffering. It was a time of terrible sorrow. It's commonly believed that the prophet Jeremiah is the author of Lamentations. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, states that Jeremiah wrote these words. Scholars have also noted that there are some striking similarities of style and language between Jeremiah's prophecy and Lamentations. Furthermore, the book of Lamentations was obviously written during the same time period as Jeremiah's ministry. Who was Jeremiah? Jeremiah was both a priest and a prophet who served as the Lord's messenger during the reigns of kings Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. He served during the last 40 years of Judah's existence. Jeremiah witnessed the sad decline of Judah until finally the Lord sent King Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the city of Jerusalem. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 that Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah proclaimed the word of God, the judgments of God, and the covenant curses that would fall upon the rebellious and disobedient. He told Zedekiah and the people of Judah to repent, but they wouldn't listen. They would not listen. Zedekiah refused to humble himself before Jeremiah and before the Lord. Therefore, in the year 586, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar marched into Jerusalem, broke down the wall, burned all the palaces, destroyed all its precious possessions, brought the people into captivity, and most tragic of all, they burned the house of the Lord. Because of their sin, God gave them up to their enemy. The prophet Jeremiah was an eyewitness of the whole terrible ordeal. And the book of Lamentations was his anguished response to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. Jeremiah mourned the wretched condition of Judah and the sin which brought about her destruction. By means of five poems, Jeremiah lamented the horrible devastation, loss of life, starvation through siege, and the fact that the nation had become so vile that the Lord departed from his sanctuary. But dear friends, in the middle of this book, in the midst of pain, suffering, and tears, we find these precious words of our text. Great is your faithfulness. Now, what does the Bible mean when it speaks of the faithfulness of God? Psalm 36:5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." What is the faithfulness of God? The Old Testament word that is translated faithfulness is related to the word for truth. They both come from the same root, which means firmness or stability. When the Bible speaks about God's faithfulness, it means that God will always do what he has said and fulfill what he has promised. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28, David said, "And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true." You are God, and your words are true. God's faithfulness means that he can be relied upon. He can be taken at his word and trusted to do what he has promised. He is perfectly reliable. There are several places in Scripture where faithfulness and truth are mentioned side by side. The prophet Isaiah said, "Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." Revelation 2:21 verse 5 says that God's words are true and faithful. Revelation 3:14 says that Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is the faithful and true witness. Faithfulness grows out of truth. Since everything about God is true, then we can be absolutely certain that He is faithful. Brothers and sisters, how often do people disappoint us and go back on their word? How often do people fail to do what they have said and fail to fulfill what they have promised? Sometimes we fail simply because we're not able to do what we intended to do. We promised to meet someone at 9 o'clock, but the snowstorm hindered us from getting there on time. Consequently, we fail to keep our word. Or maybe you promised your wife that you would paint the living room, but other priorities have taken all your time, and your promise has not been fulfilled. You said you would do it, but you have not come good on your word. People break their promises for any number of reasons, right? Sometimes it's laziness. Other times it may be carelessness, unforeseen circumstances, loss of interest, deceit, sickness, or memory loss. Many promises are not kept. But God always does what He has said and always fulfilled what He has promised. Always. With God, there is no laziness, no carelessness, no unforeseen circumstances, no loss of interest, no deceit, no sickness, and no memory loss. Psalm 89 verse 8 says that faithfulness surrounds Him. Congregation, as Jeremiah observed the nation, he saw unfaithfulness on every side. God's people had broken His covenant and Judah was unfaithful. Consequently, they were severely punished. Yet in the midst of tears, we find a great confession, which is point number two. A great confession. Verse 22 says, following the translation of the New King James, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Although Jeremiah witnessed terrible destruction and suffering, he was still able to acknowledge the mercies of God. The word mercies there in verse 22, or steadfast love, refers to the covenant mercies of God toward His people. It was because of the covenant mercies of God that they were not consumed, wiped out, destroyed. The situation for Judah was terrible. They were a defeated, broken people. But Jeremiah understood that things could be far worse. The Lord could have easily consumed them and wiped them off the face of the earth. In the verses preceding our text, we see the anguish of the prophet. Please follow along. Look, go back to verse 1. Verse 1. "I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of His wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me He turns His hand again and again the whole day long." Jeremiah lamented the fact that God was against His people. He was afflicting them by the rod of His wrath and turned His hand against them. Go to verse 4. Verse 4. "He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago." Verse 7. "He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, He shuts out my prayer." Go to verse 10. "He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate." Verse 15. "He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. so has my hope from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I trust you can see how Jeremiah was a man who experienced terrible torment of soul. He felt crushed and broken. God was like a bear and a lion in ambush. God was like a skilled hunter shooting deadly arrows at his prey. God had smitten them dreadfully. Verse 19 mentions affliction, wanderings, wormwood, bitterness, and gall. It all points to the depths of despair into which he was plunged. And yet, despite the terrible pain, Jeremiah was able to fix his eyes upon the Lord. The tone of despair that we find in verses 1 through 19 is suddenly changed in verses 20 through 24. It's as though the black storm clouds separate for a moment and the sunshine streams through. Jeremiah realized that, yes, we are being punished. Yes, the rod of God's wrath was against them, yet things could have been far worse. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Congregation, Jeremiah was able to see and experience God's faithfulness in a time of unfaithfulness. Judah was unfaithful. Jerusalem was unfaithful. The church was unfaithful. And yet because of the covenant mercies of God, they were not consumed. Even though Jerusalem lay in ruins and the temple destroyed, Jeremiah was able to worship the Lord and praise him for his mercies. People of God, Jeremiah's response to calamity raises a question for us. How do we respond to affliction in our lives? How do we respond to trials, disappointments, sufferings, and storms? Instead of doubting God's faithfulness and becoming angry and bitter with God, we need to remember that he is always faithful. And we need to bear in mind that it's only because of the mercy of God in Jesus Christ that we are not consumed. It is because of the cross that we do not perish, because of God's love and faithfulness displayed at Calvary. In the midst of calamity, Jeremiah was able to worship the Lord and to praise him for his mercies. And I believe that as a congregation, we saw some of that attitude displayed in both sisters Alice and Cora. In different ways, both of them experienced trials, especially in their final years, worn bodies, disappointing limitations, increased confinement, the need for constant care, and so on. Nevertheless, they continue to testify to us of God's faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. God was faithful in sustaining them through some very tough years, but God also displayed his faithfulness through them as they continued to speak of him. They loved God, his people, his church, and those who were in need of salvation. They were sustained by God's faithfulness. They displayed God's faithfulness in their care for others, and they pointed our church family to God's faithfulness. They had their moments of struggle, of course, but they always came back to the promises of God. And they wanted others around them to also build their lives upon a firm foundation. Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen from the dead. That's what they wanted for the members of this church. They wanted us to cling to and increase our confidence in God's faithfulness. They wanted their loved ones to be absolutely convinced that God can be trusted. God can be relied upon. Because of his love and faithfulness revealed at Calvary, we are not consumed. In Lamentations 3, The prophet Jeremiah observed the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple in ruins, the priests and prophets slain in the sanctuary, and men, women, and children led away to a foreign land. He was filled with anguish. Look with me to verse 48. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. Verse 49, my eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite. In other words, Jeremiah couldn't stop weeping. And yet as he wept for the city of God, he knew that the Lord remembered his covenant. His promise of salvation could not fail, and his promise of a redeemer could not be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, the covenant mercies and the covenant faithfulness of God that provided encouragement to the prophet Jeremiah also provided encouragement to Alice and Cora. And it should also provide encouragement for each and every one of you. Even when all earthly possessions and pleasures are taken away, we have reason to give thanks for the covenant mercies of God in Jesus Christ. Even when our health and strength fail, even if we experience the pain and sorrow of death, we have reason to give thanks for the covenant faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ. Those who are redeemed through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus belong to a kingdom that can never be destroyed, a kingdom that is permanent. Whatever may happen to us in this life, we are citizens of a kingdom that is eternal. With this in mind, we can rest in God's faithfulness each and every day. In verse 23, Jeremiah said, God's mercies and compassions are new every morning. They are new every morning. Whatever situation you may be in, you can be assured of the faithfulness of God with each new day. The prophet Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He suffered more than most of us can imagine. His ministry was not appreciated by many, and his preaching was largely rejected. He spent time in prison, in a dungeon, where he sank in the mud and had no food or water. But still, the prophet could say, your mercies and compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Dear friends, the mercies of God are often hidden and hard to recognize. They're not always plain to see. When you're at the bottom of a muddy pit with neither food nor water, as was Jeremiah, you don't always see the mercies and the compassions of God. And you don't always recognize his faithfulness. But if we are sensitive to the providence of God, and if we live a God-centered and Christ-exalting life, then we are able to experience God's faithfulness on a daily basis. Every blessing, whether small or great, is a reminder of God's goodness. Oh, that we might have eyes to see more clearly the mercies of God in our lives, to see the compassions of God with each new day. Every morning we have reasons to thank God. Jeremiah saw new mercies even when Jerusalem was a smoking heap of rubble. He saw new mercies even when the armies of Nebuchadnezzar trampled the city. He saw new mercies even when prophets and priests were murdered. Every morning again, even with red, swollen eyes, he was able to acknowledge the Lord's mercies, compassions, and faithfulness. That's also what we saw in our sisters, Cora and Alice. Struggles? Yes. Moments of discouragement? Certainly. But still confessing God's great mercy. Jeremiah did not curse the Lord or forsake the God of Israel because of the destruction of Jerusalem. Rather, with eyes of faith, he continued to trust the great love and compassion of the Lord. He did not put his fist in the face of God. He continued to believe that God was both kind and faithful. That's what we saw in our departed sisters. That's what we all need. We need eyes of faith to see the mercies of God in our lives. How often do we murmur and complain about the ways of God? How often do we grumble when things don't go our way? Sometimes we sulk over the disappointments in our life. And we begin a little private pity party. Poor me. Poor little me. How often do we become overwhelmed by our situation and fail to see the mercies of God with each new day? When Corrie ten Boom was in a German prison for hiding Jews during the Second World War, for several months she was locked up in solitary confinement. The food was pathetic, and the cell was damp, hard, and cold. To add to the misery, she had no idea what had become of the rest of her family. One day, I love this story, because one day, a small, busy black ant came into her cell. Corrie was able to crouch down and admire the marvelous design of its legs and body. The ant would disappear through a crack in the floor, but when Corrie scattered some crumbs from her evening stale piece of bread, he would come out almost at once. Locked up in solitary confinement, a filthy, smelly cell, Corrie was able to find some joy in the company of a little black ant, one of God's amazing little creatures. During a time of loneliness, discouragement, and suffering, she was able to experience the daily mercies of the Lord. A little ant became a source of encouragement for several weeks. She was amused by its daily visits. The Lord's mercies and compassions are new every morning. Congregation, if Jeremiah could confess the faithfulness of God while his beloved city was destroyed, if Christians in North Korea, China, Afghanistan, India, Algeria, Colombia, and elsewhere can confess the faithfulness of God while facing intense persecution for their faith, then should we not also worship our faithful Lord for the daily mercies that we enjoy from his gracious hand? Yes, also at this Wednesday's funeral. Every morning again, we should be able to say, sometimes with red and swollen eyes, great is your faithfulness. And then when we trust the faithfulness of God, we not only find strength for the present, but also great hope for the future, which is point number three, a great hope. Notice what Jeremiah said in verse 24. Let's go there. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is my portion. What an amazing thing to say. Jeremiah is echoing the words of Psalm 73, where the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What did Jeremiah mean when he said, the Lord is my portion? What did the psalmist mean when he said, he is my portion forever? The word portion brings to mind the dividing up of the land of Canaan between the tribes of Israel. In the days of Joshua, the land was divided up. The tribe of Levi received what? Nothing. The Lord said to Aaron in Numbers 18, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. Listen, I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. I am your portion. The tribe of Levi did not have a portion in the land. Their enjoyment was to be in the Lord himself. They were to be fully satisfied in the Lord, complete happiness in him. When the prophet Jeremiah said, "The Lord is my portion," he was saying, "My happiness and my hope for the future is in God alone, the faithful one." Jerusalem is destroyed, but the Lord is my portion. The temple is leveled, but the Lord is my portion. The land is taken by the enemy, and my people are brought into captivity, but the Lord is my portion. Jeremiah found comfort in the Lord himself, and with this portion, he was fully satisfied. All earthly portions perish and fail, but the Lord is our portion forever, and he never fails. Congregation, our hope for the future does not rest upon our material prosperity or earthly success. Our hope for the future is in our faithful God alone. If the Lord is our portion, what more could we possibly want? An old Puritan writer, Thomas Brooks, said, "A man that has God for his portion is the happiest man in the world." Do you have God as your portion? As Jeremiah lamented the destruction of Jerusalem, he knew that there was one thing that could never be taken from him. Ever. The Babylonians could take his city. They could take away all his earthly possessions. But there was one thing that they could not take away. "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." From a human perspective, Jeremiah's situation was hopeless. Yet as he pondered the faithfulness of God, he was able to find comfort for today and great hope for tomorrow. This morning, the Lord also provides you with that hope. As you trust in his faithfulness, the Lord is your portion. How is the Lord your portion? He is your portion through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Alice and Cora believed, and that's what we must believe as well. Through the suffering and death of the Savior, you can be right with God. Because he paid the penalty for sinners, you may have a relationship with the Almighty. You may say with the psalmist, "God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The greatest gift that God has given us is himself. We have strength for the present and comfort for the future because we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have hope because he, the one who is faithful, is our portion. No, our trust is not in material possessions. Our hope for the future is not in a strong economy, a secure job, or a thriving business. Our comfort and hope are in the one who is faithful. Andrew Bonar, a Scottish preacher, his wife died on October 14, 1864. 20 years later, on the anniversary of her death, he wrote of it in his diary. He spoke of her sudden departure to be with Christ. He also wrote about his grandson who had recently died at 3 days old. The son of his son had been taken away. Andrew wrote in his diary, broken cisterns all around, but the fountain remains full. Broken cisterns all around, but the fountain remains full. As Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem, he could still say, "The fountain remains full." Our city is demolished. Our people are captives. Our land is possessed by the enemy. But the fountain remains full. Brothers and sisters, with the departure of Korah and Alice, we can be confident that the Lord is their portion forever. Not because they were good women. Not because they attended church all their life, as important as that may be. No, the Lord is their portion because they trusted Jesus Christ. No other reason. No other reason. I ask you this morning to consider your own relationship with the Lord. Where are you at? Can you say that your confidence for the future is in God Himself? Is He your portion? Have you recognized that you are a sinner? And have you trusted in the Lord Jesus, the one who alone can bring you into God's presence? Within the last week, we have been reminded that life is very short. Even if you live to be 100, it passes very quickly. I ask you to consider whether you are ready to stand before your Maker and Judge. There is no greater security and hope than to know that He is your God. Through repentance and faith in Jesus, the Lord will say to you, I am your portion. I am your Father. I am your provider. I am your friend. I am your everlasting joy. I am preparing a place for you in the kingdom of heaven. And I will one day remove you from this veil of tears and grant you eternal pleasures at my right hand. The pains, sorrows, disappointments, and heartaches of this life will pass. And those who have trusted in their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, will inherit everlasting blessedness. The alternative, frankly, is terrifying. There is no hope, no life, no joy, no heaven, no pleasure, no mercy, no love in hell. Therefore, I say to you this morning, Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to live a perfect life, to suffer under the curse of sin, to bear the wrath of God on Calvary's cross for the sake of His people, and to rise as the victor over sin, death, and hell. Each one of you are now called to receive that message, to worship that Savior, to display that faithfulness to those around you, and to give your life to Him in grateful service. Don't leave here today without saying, Lord Jesus, I need you. You are my righteousness. You are my Savior. There is nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing I can do to merit your approval. You are my hope, my portion, and I want to glorify you in this life and forever. God is determined that Alice and Korah's earthly task is complete. Their work is done. But those of us who remain have a task to do. They were supported by God's faithfulness, and they displayed God's faithfulness. And each one of us here who are left behind are now called to display the faithfulness of God to those around us. What will the remainder of your life be founded on and devoted to? Will you give glory to God now? And will you glorify Him forever? Will you display His faithfulness now and rejoice in it forever? Because God is faithful, He will keep every promise that He has ever made. The question is, do you trust His promises? When everything seems to be falling apart in your life, in your family, or in your church, do you still believe His promises? When He says, I am preparing a place for you in the kingdom of heaven, and I will one day remove you from this veil of tears and grant you eternal joy, do you believe Him? Congregation, there is great comfort in knowing that our God is faithful. Whatever you may be going through at the moment, look to him. Trust his fatherly care and cling to the gospel of Christ. It seems virtually everyone desires the blessings and joys of heaven after they die. But not everyone is prepared to embrace the message that tells you how to get there. Many want heaven. They want to rejoice in eternity, but they don't want to repent in this life and receive the message of the gospel of Christ crucified. May each one of you here today yield to the Lord. And then say with Jeremiah and with God's people throughout the ages, you are my portion, my God, my Savior, my joy. Great is your faithfulness. Let us pray.